Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
It goes without saying that you are back for another episode of Goes Without Saying. I am Seffi and I'm with Wing. Here is her voice.
Hi, this is Wing's voice.
Just to clear up any confusion, that's Wing. And today we're talking about, to be honest, everyone's favourite subject, love, dating, romance. So this one's for the lovers, for the little lovebirds in the, listening through the little headphones.
For the lovebirds in the back.
We asked on Instagram for your sort of dating dilemmas, situs, I think that's actually what I write, situations, dating drama, stories, and all of that sort of fun, amazing stuff, juicy goss. So we're talking about all of that, we're breaking down your things, and I think we're giving some good advice maybe, but also don't fucking believe a word we say. So this one goes out to all the lovers. See you on the other side. So basically, I've just been informed that my housemate has just tested positive with COVID, so this is weird energy coming from me right now, because I guess I'm isolating for 10 days now. Is it 10 days?
10 days. I assume so.
I've got to get my hands on a test, but I mean, I'm isolating either way, so weird energy coming from me right now.
Honestly, I mean, as long as you're feeling good and like you're not ill, that's all we care about.
Not at all. I think I just need to get my head around it, because also I just got back home. I don't even know where to start, but the whole eviction thing that's going on right now, we just had to leave to do our fucking for our floors in our house to be redone. We planned to go camping. We're like, what else do we go, where do we go?
Sorry, wait, I'm lost in the story already. Wait, do we know if you're getting evicted or not? People need an update on that.
I think now we're in the clear for at least a few weeks, because one of our housemates is changing in for another housemate. Mm-hmm. Like, one of my friends from uni is moving in, so we need them to clear that, because they're threatening to evict us over that as well. God, it's just a total mess. Basically, if you're a landlord or an estate agent, I kind of hold a grudge towards you massively.
Especially if you are Seffi's landlord and Seffi's letting agent.
If your name is, I think his name is,
now you're definitely getting evicted.
If this is, I speak directly to you. Please, what are you doing to me? I had to go camping. I hate camping.
You love camping.
No, I do love camping in the right conditions. I don't love being thrown out of my house and being told go camping.
Yeah, fair enough.
But we packed everything into the little Honda Jazz, Werther's mm-hmm. originals on the mm-hmm. go, sexual healing playing in the background.
Nice.
But the fucking nightmare of it all is we got back. It was a fucking tip. There were flies everywhere.
Oh,
flies.
Yeah, what the hell? It's a bug's life.
Honestly, I'm living in a bug's life. Ant-Man.
It's a bug's life, Seffi's just living in it.
But I quite like spiders, and I really wasn't wanting to kill any of the flies.
There were spiders. There were spiders, though, question mark. Yeah, there were.
Yeah, there was all sorts of shit. It was just, like, dusty.
Are you making this up as you go along? You really sound like, can you just get your story straight?
There weren't an excess of spiders. There was a huge excess of flies. That's for absolute sure, certain. But there were a few spiders just because it was like dusty.
Well, if there's an excess of flies, the spiders will be loving it. It's exactly where a spider wants to be.
True. So maybe the flies attracted some spiders. But I didn't walk in and think, Jesus, I'm in a web. I'm Aragog's in here. Friend of Hagrid over here. I didn't think that. But then, so my housemate went out to get a fly swatter because we didn't know what else to do.
Oh, right.
Against my vegan wishes. And then he couldn't get back in. They'd fucking fucked the door. And my neighbour came out, my scary neighbour, whispering that in case he hears, mm-hmm. came out and said, oh, yeah, someone came back at like 8 p.m. after all the builders left and were like, was like drilling your door like 8 in,
8 at night the night before, so they fucked the door or something. Don't know who that was.
That's what I find suspicious, yeah.
That's what's weird. So then we were trying to phone the fucking fucking estate agents, not he lives in Singapore. He's not, he doesn't give a fuck.
You're never getting through to him, no fucking way.
We were phoning them and being like, he's literally stuck outside and we're stuck in the house. What do we do? No one was answering, so we just had to call a random locksmith.
Kind of sound all again.
Oh god.
Locksmith to me is like an old, like ye old locksmith.
I wish it was Sandor Clegane. Where's the hound when you need him? He could just break through that door. Where's my boy? Fucking locksmith charged us 450 quid, so we're just invoicing them for that now.
And now you've got COVID to top it off.
Woke up this morning. Turns out we've all got COVID. We're supposed to be going on a date. Just cancelled it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like press record. Off we go. Time to talk about some romance. But how are you?
Should we just get straight into it?
Let's get straight into it.
Okay, let's get straight into it. Do you have one that you want to start with?
I did screenshot some that I really liked. You guys came through with so fucking much.
People sent some really good things. Thank you to everyone who sent a message. I don't think we're going to get time to like go through. I mean, there were just so many. We're definitely not going to get time to go through all of them. But even the ones that we like, even the really good ones like yeah. that we want to talk about, we're not going to have enough time.
There was one here that I really liked.
Mm.
This girl said, I've been having casual sex with my best friend. Is that a bad idea? Neither of us have feelings and everyone tells me it is a bad idea. Is it just part of the queer experience or an absolutely foul idea?
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Okay, what do you think?
I think it's an absolutely foul idea, to be honest.
Do you?
Just in terms of your best friend you're having casual sex with and neither of you have feelings.
It's Steffi and Wings. That's not gonna fucking happen. That's an absolutely foul idea.
It's gonna be a disaster.
Yeah.
An absolute disaster. You and your best friend are having casual sex and neither of you have feelings. I think you might.
Yeah.
And is it part of the queer experience? I definitely think it's part of the queer experience to have sex with your friends casually, but I don't think with your best friend.
Best friend.
I think there must be feelings involved.
But that's why I think it is a kind of rites of passage for the queer experience. I know so many best friends. Actually, interestingly, one of my friends at uni had sex with her best friend, like when they were a lot younger. And she, the friend, like, essentially denies ever happened.
I mean, this is what I mean. It's just a recipe for disaster.
It's pretty painful. Yeah, it's tough, isn't it?
I'm yet to hear a story where that's happened with someone that's closer than kind of just like friend at a party sort of thing, where it's actually gone well.
Well, it's gone well for the friend who can admit that it's happened doesn't really care.
Has it gone well though? Because your best friend who you've had sex with is denying it ever happened. That to me doesn't sound that went well.
Well, they won't acknowledge it. They've like forgotten it.
But that's so weird.
She's kind of unbothered. It is really weird. It's not like she's in love with her and everyone's cut up about it. I think if you're the one who's like unbothered, then it's fine. But it's kind of the same with, I guess it's the same with any casual, quote unquote, casual sex relationship.
But this is also the thing that I don't necessarily think that the standard way that would go wrong is one of you would be more invested than the other. Mm. It causes a heartbreak. But I almost think the more subtle ways that could go wrong are really bad as well.
Like someone pretending it never happened.
Yeah, I think that's actually quite painful to be like, you're literally denying
an experience. I agree.
It's almost like even if you break that down on a normal friend level, someone denies eating the last slice of fucking pizza that you they said you could have or something, like a basic fucking thing. It would be really like, no, you fucking did eat it. I fucking saw you eat it.
I agree. But then also it's kind of so many experiences might go sour in the future. So do we just deny ourselves everything?
I don't think it's a case of denial though. If it's casual sex and you've got no feelings.
Yeah, then just stop doing it.
It's like, have sex with someone else then, not your best friend.
Yeah, true.
Like, that to me is like, God, you're causing, unless it's like, God, we actually really like each other, I've got to have sex with my best friend. If it's just a casual thing, honestly, pick someone else. I just think there are so many different people that you can have casual sex with rather than someone that you're invested in that way.
Can you though? Because the security there is it can be really casual because so much of the relationship has already been unfolded and sussed out. Like, I get why that's very easy and comfortable for people. But I agree with you.
Just if I'm projecting my own experience on this, if I wanted to have casual sex with someone, I genuinely think the last fucking person I'd be thinking is, should I go through my friend group?
Me too.
Who here am I really close with and there's a lot wrapped up in? Oh, maybe I'll have casual sex with you. That can't go wrong. I think I'd be thinking, right, who do I know the fucking least here?
Yeah.
Who's fit that I don't know? If you want it to stay casual, I think absolutely, like, I know people that have slept with their friends and it can be really, it's always a mess. It's always a fucking mess.
I have quite a similar one. Can I tie this in?
Yeah.
This person said, I'm sleeping with my uni housemate. No one knows. And I think we're both catching feelings. And it just reminded me of this person because it's kind of, yeah, you just better hope that we're both catching feelings. You better just better hope hold on tight that it's a mutual, whether it's a mutual experience that you both don't care about or you're both mutually catching feelings.
Basically, you either have to be mutually agree in the mutual agreement that this is casual or mutually like, oh right, should we give this a go then?
Mm.
It's basically relationships only get messy when there's like an imbalance in some way or like you're just feeling different.
Yeah, but humans don't work like that. Because also, it's kind of, you could be coming from different angles. I think then the only way that that works is if someone wants something and someone wants something else, you are fucked unless you can open up some sort of communication. So your perspectives don't necessarily have to align if your communication is still going to align. But if that is over, then the whole thing is going to fall through.
I completely agree. I think it's absolutely within the range of healthy to have a natural imbalance because that is just how things work.
Mm.
I think the actual stem of when relationships go sour is when people stop communicating.
Oh my God. Goes without saying.
Goes without fucking saying. But especially with romantic situations, the second things change, I think you absolutely have to communicate that in just in terms of, wait, I actually think I am starting to catch feelings. I think I am starting to like you. Or I think I'm starting to get a bit...
Impossible.
Do you think impossible? I think it's the only way.
I think out of however many listeners that are, I agree with you, it's the only way, it's never happening. Like,
yeah, maybe.
I just think statistically, how often does someone have the bollock to be like, oh, actually, I don't fancy you anymore. Or like, oh, actually, I really quite like you. Like, I don't know if you like me, like, blah, blah, blah. We never do that. We're fucking liars. Like, if you do, you've been working your way up for like 2 weeks to say something. Do you know what I mean? Like, you've had to hype yourself up for like a month to finally be like, I'm going to talk to them tonight. I'm going to tell them tonight. And then you see them tonight, you don't say anything. And you're like, fuck, next time I'll say something.
Yeah, completely. I have been in so many situations where I'm helping someone script out their message or even myself, I'm scripting out the message of like, right, okay, how am I gonna exactly say word for word? But then I do think that is just so necessary.
You know, I don't know if you're gonna want to bring this up.
Is this one a scripture that we created?
This was one of the scriptures that we created, and it was for
the love of my life.
Yeah, to put it bluntly. Yeah, it's only the love of your life. And you basically were like, I'm gonna have to say it, like, blah 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
This was like off the back of probably one too many Boba and Flex episodes. You were like, I just have to say how I feel.
Truly, I think also when I was seeing this guy, which I have told the story many a times, it was the crux of my life.
The crux.
It's the crux. And if you ever listen to this, it's not about you. you got it all wrong. What was I going to say? God, I just thought of him and I've lost everything already. I've crumbled into nothing. What was I even going to say?
You're swooning the night away. We were saying, but you were like, I have to say I like him. And then when did you decide to do it?
Oh my God. So we've been dating for like, honestly, what, 6 months at this point? It was like, right, okay, I think I need to at least say, by the way, I like you. Like, I need to I like you. Okay, is that okay to say? But what were you going to say about that? It went all wrong.
I was gonna say, well, you don't have to put, it's up to you whether you want this, but I think it's a really good example of like having to hype yourself up to have an honest communication with someone and then it kind of falls through. You described it as you had like quite a good like heart-to-heart moment, like it was quite like not even a deep convo, but just like you were in kind of a pillow talky vibe which would have been perfect to say it then.
Mm-hmm.
But 2 minutes later he's fingering you and you decided to say it then, like by the time you'd registered, this is the perfect time, it was like, It was like 120 seconds too late.
Too late. And it definitely did catch him off guard. Like, kind of, oh, right, we're still in the serious talk vibes, are we? Okay.
It's like, do I stop?
God. Awful, awful, awful.
Which, this is why I just think it's funny that we're on a podcast being like, no, guys, like, communicate. Like, you have to come forward and say how you feel and say you've got the ick and say that you like them and say how you feel and blah, blah, blah. But in reality, it's like, no, you've been working your way up to that combo for like a week with your mates, and then you finally see them and it's like, oh fuck, how the fuck am I supposed to say it now? What's your fucking face? I can't. I don't want to say anything that's going to put you off of me. I don't want to say anything that's going to give you an excuse for being scared off. To be real, that's the fear.
But then I do think it's like, the content I needed at that time was the content that would say, absolutely, you have to do it, because if you don't do it, you are fucked.
Yeah.
So you have two options right now, okay? You don't say anything and you're fucked. Or you do say something and it's a crossroads between you're fucked and you're great. There is no other option than to say literally exactly how you're feeling, because if you say nothing, you are honestly doing yourself not even a disservice. You are literally sending yourself to the depths of hell and you will never recover. You have to be honest to yourself and say, I'm seeing you and I like you. Is that so outrageous? No.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I was going to say, is the funny thing about that situation is the person who decides to be honest and say, look, I like you at the wrong time or whatever, blah, 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 is we're like, oh, that's the weird one. But actually the fucking guy is the weird one for spending 6 months with someone and never being like, yeah, I like you.
Well, this is the problem with modern dating, I guess, that you have to keep up this pretense that you're unbothered and unfazed and you don't care. If you never takes me back, I don't really give a fuck.
Don't give a shit about this person.
Yeah, but it's actually like, of course you're both invested in some way. Otherwise, why would you bother? There is some kind of weird... It's kind of a momentum, a building of this thing. The longer you spend with them, the more you like them. Of course, it's coming to some point where, of course, you need to tell them. It's weird that it's like, keep it hidden, seem unbothered. Basically, they're going to act like they don't like you at all.
Mm-hmm.
That's fucked to me. That doesn't actually compute in my brain. If I try and like practice kind of being honest in every other element of my life, why, when it comes to dating, is it like, well, keep that part of me hidden? If I'm on like a mission in life, and I hope we all are, to be like authentic without a fucking care in the world and free in yourself, why would it's like, oh my God, but that boy's cute. He can never see the real me. He can never know how I'm feeling. It's like, fuck this.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck this.
I agree. It's the kind of the funny thing as well of like, well, it's just kind of how little we're willing to settle for, really. Kind of you saying like, the more, and then the more you see them, the more you like them and blah, blah, blah. But it's actually like, the more you don't see them, the more you like them.
Yeah.
Or the more they don't text you back, you like them. Because it's their absence that kind of keeps you going, because it ends up being a whole... It's the idea of that person rather than literally who they actually are as a human or what you've actually experienced with them. It's the potential.
Absolutely. Because I don't think it's even that you like them. It's that you build a narrative of what your future looks like.
Identity.
So many people in the DMs and when we asked the question on the story were actually saying that they're with their boyfriend because they've got a picture of themselves. It's actually an ego thing and an idea of that what their future will look like with this person rather than actually about the person. Date one, you kind of like them. Date two, date three. By date fucking 10, you're hooked. You're fixated on what your imagined future looks like with this person. And actually, I think that is the delusion of dating and love. It's not actually about this person. It's very easy to slip from a genuine like of this person, which comes from your own sense of self-esteem of like, oh, this person would be a great addition to my life, and actually into like a desperation. I need them. My life is shit without them. I have to have them to fill some kind of void, and my future is fucked if it goes a different path. Which romance could be such a more fun sort of landscape if we all just were like, right, okay, like what would be a great addition right now? Like, I don't actually need this person, but they'd be great to go to the fucking cinema with. They'd be great to go on a date with, blah, 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 blah. Rather than it's like, I need this person to be my boyfriend. I need him to meet my family. Does he like me? Does he like me? It's like, oh, look, we're barking up the wrong tree here.
Mm-hmm. Do you like you? Does he like you? Do you like you?
Yeah.
No.
Because also in my depths of liking someone, in my depths of needing this person to like me and validate me, it was completely coming from a place of, I wouldn't even say self-hatred, but it was definitely coming from a place of like needing them rather than wanting them by the end.
This sounds really like just a like redundant point, just sounds like a cliche to throw out, but I actually think it's really true. Of what you put out is what you will get back. So if you're putting out any sort of like desperation or like fear, and like, if you're putting out anxiety when it comes to like dating and sex and romance and love and relationships, if relationships put you on edge, you're gonna get back relationships that you feel insecure in, because you'll be not even, it's not even like as simple as you'll be attracting insecure relationships. It's just when someone comes into your life and they make you feel insecure, you'll keep them around because you won't have it in you to move on and move past it or identify and see it for what it is.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's not just like, oh, I'm feeling a bit purple, so I'm going to attract purple things. It's like, I don't even mean it in a wishy-washy way, even though it kind of is.
I'm thinking of a white butterfly and I'm waiting for my white butterfly to appear.
I'm going
to
see one.
Yeah.
But it's kind of the fact of like, if you're feeling really anxious and insecure in relationships and in yourself, like in relation to others, then of course you're going to slip into those routines with other people and sustain them.
And even in like a more kind of tangible way of like, literally what you do will allow them to treat you as you have shown them that you will be allowed to be treated. Did that make sense? I don't know.
Yeah, you set the standard.
If you allow bad communication to come to you, or almost like abusive sex that you don't enjoy, and if they think that you will allow that, they'll do what they can get away with in a way. Like, if you set the precedent that a text every 2 days is acceptable, then that is what you shall receive. Like,
your wish is my command.
That is exactly what you will be served. If it's a guy that kind of is in the early stages of dating, finds out that they can just wank into you, leave it after they finish wanking into your vagina and not text you for 2 days, and you then, when they next text you, when they're next horny, you reply being like, oh yeah, yeah, that date would be really good. Okay, well, brilliant. You've just set the precedent of that is exactly what you shall get the next time. Which is so fucking hard. Like, I completely understand when you're in that thing of like, oh, like I kind of really like them, and it's like exciting to get a text, and you're just kind of almost in some state of denial that it's like,
worship the ground you they walk on.
Yeah, and it's almost you're in a state of denial that that wasn't that, and that it was actually, you did get something out of it, and it's blah, 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 blah. But actually, if you break it down to what actually happened, or I think a great way to look at it, which we've spoken about loads of times in terms of sex, but also in romance, is like, who got more out of that experience? Say you went on a date, you had sex, you had like a cup of fucking tea with them, whatever. Who got more out of that? I'm sure when you look back on it, if we're talking about heteronormative relationships, fucking don't know what percentage, but more than often, it is the man that got way more out of that. And I think when you actually start breaking that down, dating looks pretty bleak.
Loads of people said something similar to this. This person said, being 21 and never had a boyfriend, lol. But I feel like a lot of people, we always get messages about people feeling aware of like they haven't had a relationship and their XYZ age, or they haven't had sex and their X, Y, and Z age. I feel like you know what's coming, you know what we're gonna say, like, doesn't matter.
It's the weird like box checking thing. It's so interesting when people have specific hooks on this, because especially virginity, I feel, is a huge thing that people get very like, I just need to tick the box. And they'll kind of have some kind of mediocre sex, which is kind of, the dick kind of goes halfway in. They're like, fine, finally, I've done it. I'm free. But it's like,
I'm free.
God, like the pressure we put on like young girls to... and boys, like, there is just a societal pressure to like have a little penis in your vagina and then you're done. It's like, oh my god, like, can we actually calm down? Like, it leaves no room for what actual sex is.
Meanwhile, all these girls are all having sex with their friends anyway.
Literally, it's so fucked up. It's like, okay, so what, that you've been now validated by the kind of tip of a man's penis inside your body? Thank god I'm part of the club now. It's like, really, it means nothing. Like, truly cannot explain how nothing it means.
I think it comes down to that thing of like, the just the worst thing in like human existence, just feeling like everyone else is in on something, you're not a part of it. Like, just a real like hyper awareness of how you don't fit in to what everyone else is doing. They've all done something and you're abnormal. Like, okay, I'll just die then. Like, worst feeling.
I was talking to my school friends about this the other day. It was so nice. We're actually going to start a book club, I think. Not public, private members only, just the three of us. Sorry.
You say that. I wouldn't be surprised if she started charging you a fee. To- She'd be like, right. It's members only unless you give me 25 quid on the side, inbox only. DM me on Instagram.
My like little Capricorn comes out.
Yeah, you're starting a book club.
But we were talking about virginity, like just around our little dinner. And because we all went to school together and we were talking about like how... I don't know. I think a lot of my friends lost their virginity like incredibly young. I hope, I'm not going to name any names. Hope they don't mind, kind of 13 kind of vibes. And I genuinely thought that was kind of normal. I didn't lose my virginity until later than 13.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
But I remember we were all sitting there like kind of, probably we were like 14, maybe, I don't know how old we were, 13, 14. And we're all sitting there like having a conversation about sex and stuff. And there was one girl who was super mean. She left and never liked her. But one of these girls is still friends with her.
Was she the one that said you couldn't be a slut if you tried?
No, that was a different girl. She wasn't even cool. Oh. That was just fucking rude. That was outrageous.
Oh, I thought she was a mean girl. Yeah, yeah.
This is a different mean girl. There were so many mean girls. I think that's kind of, just people are fucking mean.
So mean. It's outrageous.
They were talking about sex. I think someone was saying that they gave their boyfriend head with a Dorito in their mouth.
Ooh.
You know, the kind of combos, you know, the kind of vibe. Someone was saying, oh my God, someone had sex with a plastic bag.
Ooh. What do you mean had sex with a plastic bag?
Instead of a condom, they had sex. Oh no, they had sex with their boyfriend using like a fucking Sainsbury's bag.
Wow.
It's like you're being raped. I'm so sorry.
The infections. Could you imagine?
Could you imagine?
It's where COVID started.
And we were all having a conversation about like these kind of sexual encounters. And I think I must have piped up with something and been like, blah, 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 blah. You're all getting raped. I don't know what I was saying, age 14. God knows.
I was going to say, what did you, like, what kind of thing? Like,
I piped up with something.
Something of your experience or just like a thought?
No, no, because I had had no experience. I was just talking from the heart, I guess. That's from the soul. Right, this doesn't...
You were prepping for goes without saying. Yeah.
I was just talking. I said, how can I be of service in this conversation to my friends? And I came out with something. And one of the mean girls, yeah, who were also my friends, said, sorry, but you don't have any experience, so you don't know what you're talking about. I don't think you can comment.
Oh my God.
And I remember that feeling of feeling like, oh, I'm not in the club. I'm not in the club as a 14-year-old virgin. I'm not in the club. I can't make a comment. But obviously, I was really indignant and thought, I don't need fucking experience to comment, bitch. I can comment.
I had sex with the guy from the Naked Brothers Band in my head when I was 9.
I just told you that I've been having sex with Zach from Zach and Cody since I was 11 in my mind. But I do think that there definitely is that idea, and then that pressure builds more as you get older, and there's an idea that you're falling behind and things like that. But
yeah, I was going to say, though, I feel like it's not that interesting or like surprising that like if people have a hook on this, because if you don't have that hook, it just looks slightly different for you, or it just changes as you get older. All my friends are having babies and I'm not having a baby. All my friends have got a proper job with a great salary and they're getting big promotions and I don't have that. Everyone's getting engaged and I'm not engaged. Everyone's moved away and I'm still here.
It's just comparison.
It's just because it's not, it doesn't look like, oh, everyone at school has lost their virginity and I haven't anymore. It is the same thing. It's all rooted in that same feeling.
Of feeling left behind, I think, and feeling different and othered.
And yeah, and really aware of how you're living your life, and you must be living it wrong.
But it's a feeling of lack. It's a feeling of everyone else has this thing. And then I think a lot of the things we were getting in the DMs were that people felt there's something wrong with them.
Oh my God. That's what people were saying. I remember someone saying, I don't know, they said like in their 20s, like never had a relationship, like no one's ever loved me, so I must just be unlovable.
Oh my God. Yeah, no.
I know. Really horrible.
No. No, no, no.
We don't have anything to say apart from just like tears.
Just not. It's just so.
It's like we just went silent.
It's actually quite painful that I do think this pressure is on girls more, because there's the idea that, I don't know, it's that if a guy hasn't been in a relationship by a certain age, then he's a fuckboy. He's fucking around.
Which means no one notices.
No, it's not even a thing. It's like, oh, if he's in a relationship, he's tied down, whatever. If a girl hasn't, it's like she's kind of the last left on the shelf.
Mm.
It's kind of no one asked her to dance at the prom, and she's one of those girls in Greece tapping their feet at the side.
That's exactly what I was thinking of.
It's just not it.
But it's also, the problem is then you take that kind of fear with you, because then you won't even... then you will push away like dating someone, because it's like, oh, they're not going to be like my first boyfriend, like this old guy, I don't want this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
You end up rejecting, you lose out on situation, or you lose out on the experiences that would have shaped you, that you lose out on the experiences that would have been a bit of fun maybe, because yeah, you want to prescribe to like a certain narrative and you want to tell the story a certain way.
I completely agree. I was literally about to use the phrase like personal narratives. I do think it is about your personal narrative of what I envisioned as my first boyfriend. Oh, well, this guy I'm talking to doesn't really look like that fucking Zac Efron that I've always imagined. So it can't be right. It's not him.
Yeah.
It becomes an identity thing. For example, if you were worried about virginity, or worried about not having a boyfriend, or if you're worried about you're queer and there's no queer people in your town, and how you ever, it becomes almost like a narrative of like, I will always be like this.
That's the role that I fit, yeah.
But it's almost like there is no evidence to suggest that just because things have been a certain way that they will always be that way. There's just nothing to suggest that's going to happen. Like, I always say this, but when things change, when things start changing, they change really quickly. You need to be prepared for that narrative shift to happen in yourself, that it's like, okay, so if you've always identified as a girl without a boyfriend, okay, well, you could meet someone on fucking Tuesday and they could be your boyfriend by the fucking following Tuesday. Like, obviously that's a fucking quick turnaround, but I've seen it happen quicker.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you've always been identified, or even within a month, whatever, mm-hmm. and you've got to be prepared for that to change. As soon as you have a narrative hook on, I'm a virgin, oh my God, I'm a virgin, okay, well, you have sex, it will last, what, fucking 30 seconds sometimes, God knows, then you'll change forever. Are you okay with that? What are you going to do then?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really important to be fluid with these things, and also like hold things really lightly. Like, if you have an attachment to one of these things, it's like, that will be gone in a second. It will be gone in a second.
Oh my God, it's what my therapist said. Choose what you want to take with you and pack light.
Pack lightly.
Honestly, pack lightly.
Don't be carrying around the weight of like, I'm a virgin. Can change in an instant.
Let's open this case up. What the fuck have you put in this big old suitcase of yours? What's going on in here? It's a mess.
You've packed fucking snorkels. We're going to the Himalayas. You've packed all the wrong shit. You packed a fur coat for the Bahamas.
And also kind of, I'm going to run with the metaphor, just because everyone in the room was packing their suitcase and they were packing big snowsuit and big old boots and ski outfits. Never been skiing, but you get the vibe. I don't know what you guys bring when you go skiing, but ski
wear. What do you bring? Salopettes, I believe they're called, with the big fucking trousers.
Everyone else is packing fucking ski shit.
Mm.
That doesn't mean you have to pack ski shit. You're going to a different place.
Pack your bikini. It's fine.
Just because everyone else is packing the same shit, you're not going to the same destination, so don't bring the same shit with you. You choose.
Also, this is the thing, like, with, I'm gonna use virginity because I think it was one of the most common things we got, and also it just works. There's the pressure to have sex even when you don't want to have sex. That is rape culture. That is a girl feeling like they should do something that they don't want to do. They are essentially not consenting to this, or the only reason they are consenting to this is because there is a coercion, a pressure, i.e. it's not consensual. From a societal lens, society is essentially fucking raping you in telling you to have sex with some scrappy boy around the fucking corner who's 14 that wants to have sex with you behind the bike sheds. That's not okay. you don't have to have sex if you don't want to. There was no way at fucking 14 I was ready to have sex. There is no fucking way.
Mm-hmm. And that's fine.
Yeah, it's more than fine, because there'll be a day when you think, oh, actually, I kind of want to do that. And even if there's not a day, that's fucking fine. Then you don't want to do it. Why are you being told you should do it? Mm. If I never want to go into the fucking cinema again, believe me, I won't be going.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad that there's this weird fucking societal pressure that you've got to do something that you literally don't want to do. That is called rape.
Oh, so true. God, powerful.
That is called rape. End the podcast.
End.
I thought this one was quite interesting, and I don't really know what I think, so I wanted to ask you. Someone said, I've been dating my boyfriend for almost a year now, and he has yet to tell me about any of his exes. Red flag or green tick?
I also screenshotted that one, and I don't think I know my thoughts either. Let me look. They've been dating for a year, almost a year, but he's yet to tell me about any of his exes, good or bad. I need more info there.
Same. I need everything.
I'm desperate for a crumb more.
I need names. I need images. I need email addresses. I need addresses.
Even if I don't need names and email addresses and images, I kind of want to know, like, have you asked? And he's been reluctant to say, are there any exes? Does he just not have any? Like, is this something that he's actually denying to speak about? Or have you not brought it up at all?
Obviously, this is, don't take any action based on my advice, which I don't know anything about this. Again, I'll need email addresses, I'll need photos, I'll need info. But I, from that, as a small one sentence kind of little bite-sized treat that you've given us, I would
be, a little bombshell,
I would be veering on the side of red flag if, that is a big if, it has been a topic that has been, I declined to speak about, i.e. you've said, please could you tell me about your like dating history, like who have you dated, like what have your exes been like, and he's like, I will not be disclosing that information with you, but let's have sex.
So it's kind of, is he Joe from You?
Yeah.
It's like, is he murdered them, they don't exist anymore, they're all dead.
Well, you start to get shifty about
you're next. Yeah. It's kind of, you're finding old like teeth and tampons in a box above his bathroom.
Oh my god, that is I love that show so much.
I really want that to come back.
I hated season two. Such a bad aesthetic, season two, I thought.
LA vibes.
Season one, so grimy in New York.
New York, yeah.
Beck's her name or something. So stunning.
Beck, yeah.
Then season two, grocery store.
Yeah, but I thought that girl was so stunning. What's her name? Victoria? Is that her name?
Well, her name was Love in the show.
Yeah, but I think her name IRL is Victoria.
She's like, I love you, love.
I have no idea. I'm making that up. Anyway.
So stunning.
Dump him. Next question. I'm joking. Don't you dare dump him.
Well, I don't know. Maybe just ask him. I would say actually ask him if you haven't already and be like, right, actually, we need to initiate this conversation of, because almost it's like, why is it bothering you? I think with my thing of like, this is about communication. I think it's not, I asked him and he didn't say anything, but it's almost like, could you just explain to me why you go a bit shifty every time I talk about exes? Like, are there a box of teeth above your sink? Like, I do need to have some information on your history. Just because if there was any topic, not even about exes or anything, like every time that I bring up the topic of Sainsbury's, my boyfriend says, I don't really want to talk about it. I would be like, right, okay, what happened in Sainsbury's?
There's something going on here. Yeah. I think with lots of like dating stuff, relationship stuff, just anything involving more than one person, a lot of it comes down to like the principle.
Exactly. Yeah.
As in, it's not even that you needing to know about his exes, that his past experiences is important. It's not necessarily important at all. But it's the principle of, if you are asking to communicate honestly and openly and you are giving everything quite generously to him and that is not being reciprocated, or there are pieces of information that are being omitted by him, then it's the principle of that dishonesty and like potential betrayal more than you just deserving to know about this one ex that he had, you know? It's the principle.
Completely. Because also with the principle, it's like, that is a valid thing to fight for.
No, the most.
And I almost think there is no reason, even if it's like, right, I don't want to give specifics, for some reason he doesn't want to say names, but almost like, I think what's actually important isn't necessarily the specifics of, okay, so there was Jessica, then there was Michelle. I don't think that's actually what you're asking for. I think there would be a valid thing in being like, I don't want to talk about this because I actually have some trauma around it. Like, it's almost like, what is the reason that you can't tell me? Oh, I find it uncomfortable. Because most likely, I would feel that a likely thing would be, oh, I feel like it makes me uncomfortable talking to you about this because you're my current girlfriend. Mm-hmm. I would assume you wouldn't want to hear it. I would be unsurprised if that's what he came out with, if this was an honest convo. But I almost think it's like, more importantly than actually knowing, okay, so she had brown hair and she had big tits, like whatever, like actually knowing the details, what I would actually want to know is, why are you withholding info from me? Like, is there a reason why? Like, if it's too big for me to know, that's fine, but like, could you just give me some clue as to why this hasn't been a convo yet?
I agree. Perfect. Solved. Mischief managed. Sorry, that's the worst.
I solemnly swear that I am talking shit.
Okay, can I bring something up, actually? Because it kind of ties back to what we were talking about earlier in a weird way. This person said, and I just thought, sounds like it would be good for our podcast. Mm. This person said, when a friend is dumped in a fling that only lasted around a month and is still upset a few months later, it's like, are you asking for a friend? It's kind of... hypothetically speaking, a friend was dumped. But they said, when a friend is dumped in a fling that only lasted around a month and is still upset a few months later, many other friends comment she's being ridiculous and they're invalidating her feelings. It's fascinating to see how a girl's heartbreak is only seen as valid if she's been dating someone for years. I've often felt like my shortest relationships have had the most impact on me, maybe because I always think about what could have been if things had worked and there is more opportunity for fantasy. I'd love to hear your thoughts. XX, love the pod. How nice.
Love that. Thank you so love much. You. That is a great question. And I completely agree with every word.
Yeah, I thought we should raise that because we've had many a convo on this about how when something isn't given like a title or it isn't deemed serious on a, like a societal level, or maybe even wasn't deemed serious by one of the parties, it must mean that you're not allowed to be upset about it. You're definitely not allowed to be upset about it for a long period of time, or what other people would consider to be a long period of time. You really shouldn't even remember them. You should never think about them. You should have closed the chapter. They never crossed your mind. You've completely moved on. But actually, I agree with this person in saying, like, it's those relationships where you didn't get closure, you didn't get to see something through, you never got to communicate honestly. It all feels like, what is it, like ships in the night? Like, it all feels like some sort of foiled plan, some sort of abolished mission.
It's kind of your potential has been cut off. It's kind of Ned Stark being killed in series one. Spoiler, I'm so
spoiler.
Sorry.
Spoiler.
It's like, Jesus, he was supposed to be my main character. How dare he die in season one?
I was rooting for you. We were all rooting for you.
Now your whole family's in a fucking mess. Mm-hmm. That's actually just specific to Game of Thrones. Doesn't relate.
Well, it's going to take us 10 seasons to get out of this mess now.
To get out of this mess. Yeah. Every bad decision you made right now, Ned, is the whole fate of everyone else.
Well, that's the perfect example, though. Someone that was there for such a short amount of time.
And you thought you were following.
Bang, cut. And now it's going to take you season after season after season to slowly move on from them. Mm-hmm.
To rebuild. To get over that moment.
Oh, yeah.
That POV shot, little Maisie's in the background. We can't cope with it.
Oh, don't. It's too gutting. It's too gutting.
Oh my God. Sansa's like, you promised him mercy. Now I'm just on my
awful,
Game of Thrones.
Awful.
But that is it. You envision someone as going further than season one. You see this as okay. And then it gets cut off prematurely in your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't reading the fucking script. You just were like, oh my God, okay, I assume you're my fucking protagonist.
It's more heartbreaking.
Their fucking head gets chopped off, i.e. they break up with you, whatever. It doesn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much more jarring in a way.
That had its chance.
Than a relationship following the like traditional route of destruction, i.e. it plays out, you're not working, even if that breakup does come as a shock, it's almost like, okay, well, we tried and it didn't work. I do think there's something particularly painful, and I'm not saying it's more painful, because in a way I don't think it's more painful. I just think it's a specific pain and almost like a pain that's easy to be like gaslit out of like, oh, okay, that was casual, I'm so sorry, but why does it feel so fucking painful? The label of casual doesn't necessarily mean painless.
Hurts in itself.
Yeah.
Well, that even just someone calling it casual is like, oh, well, it wasn't casual to me. Oops. That in itself is pretty heartbreaking.
It's kind of you're wearing a ball gown. Someone's like, I'm glad to see you dress casual. It's like, oh, I really actually tried fucking hard, actually.
It's what we used to say about you turn up to a party with a script. You turn up as if it's office hours.
Yeah.
You've turned up as if it's someone's fucking office hours.
I haven't heard that in so long.
Yeah, but it was just a party. But you made it fucking office hours. It's not office hours.
Can you re-explain the mantra to us? I've kind of forgotten it.
Right, so it was us writing scriptures for Seffi, I'm not gonna lie, for Seffi's one that got away, the love of her life.
Oh, I was scripting out to the love of my life.
And
yeah.
There would have been like an event, like you were going on a date or he was maybe gonna be at a party or blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you're coming to this party or you're coming to this meeting with a whole script that he has to follow. And I said, it's like, you're coming to a party with your fucking essay ready for him to mark as if it's office hours, like as if you're going to see your uni lecturer and get him to talk through what went wrong in the seminar.
Yeah.
It's like, you're at a fucking party. It's casual. But you've literally brought a fucking binder full of fucking notes.
Yeah. And I'm there. Well, then he shall say blah, blah, blah. And then I shall reply. Yeah, exactly. I'd written and I was attached to, as Bobo would say, I was attached to outcomes the whole time.
Outcomes.
I really was.
Office
as well.
Hours.
And then we would flip that metaphor sometimes and say, you're treating this like a party, but now you're actually at office hours. Like, you're coming with casual vibes.
Oh, like what?
Well, I think we used to flip it around all the time. We always used to say...
Well, we also brought in, you're going to the ice cream shop.
Oh, God. The most chaotic metaphor.
It's ice cream party, but you're coming with office hours. I don't know.
Well, like, what is office hours? I honestly haven't heard that phrase in
office
3 years.
Office hours. If I was a lecturer, I'd say, well, my office hours are like 11 a.m. till 1 on Tuesdays. And it's like, you're outside their fucking door shaking, like, please tell me I go first, otherwise I'm gonna have to die. Like, honestly sweating your nut off out there. And you come in and have to act really natural, your hand shaking around your coffee, like, oh my God. It's like, can I bribe you with sex or no? Like, genuine question.
I've cried in many in office hours, just not good. I've actually only
have
cried
you?
In, I've cried in one office hours, do you remember?
Oh yeah, with Sue.
With Sue. With fucking Sue. Sue honestly should get sued for her lack
Sue
of acknowledgement of social anxiety.
She crossed you. Over public speaking, and now you roast her on your podcast. What a turn of events.
I'm actually going to have to say what she said, because I just find it outrageous, and I still think, should I email? Should I fucking email?
Oh, I absolutely think you should. I'll write it for you if you want.
I've said it before, I had quite crippling social anxiety to do with seminars at uni. It's all good. It's all good now. I don't have to ever step foot in one again. But also, I think I overcame a certain amount of it during my therapy. But I had to present, which presenting, if you've ever been in a seminar, you'll know that presenting is kind of the worst thing in life. And I had to present, and I went in, I was like, Sue, I just don't think I can fucking do it. Like, the idea of standing at the front of the class and fucking presenting is gonna make me vom. So I started crying and said, Sue, please, can I just write an essay or anything instead? Please, 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 I will cry.
Because you thought it was just a general old thing that you're doing in seminars, but it was actually a graded thing. I remember you finding out. She was like, this is graded. This is like a piece of the module.
But so many people, like for example, I knew other people that had written essays and stuff, and I was like, please, can I just get in on the essay thing? But then it turns out she was like, no, you can't do that, sorry, because I put you with this girl and she's really shy, so you need to be the girl with her. And I was like, this seems quite unfair, but whatever. And I remember one of the phrases she said to me, she was like, what are you gonna do in the real world?
The real world, here it comes again, back to bite us in the ass.
And I thought, I'm gonna fucking start a fucking podcast, bitch. Turns out now public speaking is my whole thing.
The real world.
But I went in and I honestly nailed the presentation. Nailed it.
Oh my God. And then you came back and said, from now on in my life, I only want, it's only amazing things.
I said, I'm only doing amazing things from now on, because I got over my biggest fear in that moment and stuck it to Sue's fucking face, bitch face.
Fucking hell. God, there's a lot of misogyny coming out in
here. She's actually super intelligent. I actually do you know what was so gutting about it? I really admired her. I think that's what was so gutting about it.
It's kind of you are a man who saw this woman, thought she was super hot, came onto her in the street, started doing a catcalling. She turned you down. Now you're like, you're fucking bitch. You're not even that hot anyway.
Yeah, genuinely, Sue, you're not even that clever anyway. She is, actually. But it was just gutting. I really admired her. I went with her to her with a real kind of mental health issue, and she went, no, what are you gonna do in the real world? And I just thought, I'll fucking die in the real world then, Sue. I'll fucking die if that's what you want.
But you actually went, well, it looks like I'm doing the presentation then, I guess.
So I actually thought, actually, kind of fight or flight kicked in. I fought and I won.
Yeah.
This isn't to do with romance though. This one made me laugh so much. Like, Well, just even in terms of, I want to know what you would say. It's just kind of, I don't know what I would do. But also, not kink shaming. You do you, but I just don't know what I would say to this.
Okay.
Someone said, I was on a first date. A guy asked me what my kinks were, and he said he was into blood and biting. That's all the details they've given. And I just want to know what you would say to that. If you were on a date with someone that said, oh, I'm quite into blood and biting. Like, Edward.
Some guy drew blood on you, no?
Someone drew blood on me?
No, I don't mean drew blood on you. I mean, they drew blood from you.
They bit my mouth. But I think that was more of an accident from them. It surely had to be an accident.
It wasn't a move.
I don't think it was a move, no. I think it was an accidental, you really just bit me, actually.
I think it depends, like, what, if they were giving me, I don't know, it depends what their whole vibe was. Do you know what I mean? Is that a straight no from you?
I think that's like, you're biting me till you bleed. They took Twilight too far.
It isn't, well, yeah, it literally is Edward Cullen. Well, it's kind of the opposite of Edward Cullen.
He doesn't want to bite.
He doesn't even want to be in the same room as her. He doesn't even want to be in science lab with her.
He's like, your smell is repulsive. Yeah. It's actually too good for words.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I would find, like, do you know what I mean? That's not a straight no from me.
Really? Blood and biting?
Yeah, for sure. I don't really know what would be, do you know what I mean? A straight no.
What would be a like, I have to call this off now. Like, I can't go any further with the date.
I think it would be more about them. Like, I think it doesn't necessarily matter what the specific thing is if I get you as a whole. Do you get what I mean?
What if it's shit? What if it's, I want to shit on you?
Oh, well, then it's going to be, look, I don't think I can do that personally. So if that's a big thing for you, then yeah, you should look for someone else. But like, if you're fine to leave it out of the relationship, then yeah.
That's the thing. If this is the only way you can have sex is through blood.
The only way.
You're kind of picturing it Sebastian Stan and you're like, well, fine, I'll fucking do it then.
No, but... I'm not at all. Yeah, if it's the only way that they ever want to have sex, then yeah, we're not going to be sexually compatible because I'm not bleeding. Look, I think I bleed pretty easy. I'm not doing that every time. It's knackering. I'm exhausted.
I think it's just a bit Army Hammer.
Oh, well, that is disgusting.
It's a bit cannibal.
That's horrific. Yeah.
That's the vibe it gives me. It's like you want to bite, just a bite, or do you want to bite into my skin?
Yeah, no, they just want to bite you. They don't want to bite into you. They're not taking a chunk out of you.
But then what, suck the blood? I think they want to smear the blood.
Well, they're going to pierce the skin.
Which I just think, get your fucking mitts off my skin.
But they're not chewing it off, you would hope. I agree. By choice, no. Like, I don't... But then I also think a small bite is fine.
Well, a small bite, but I don't like the idea of drawing blood.
I think it just depends on the whole person, the whole vibe for me.
To me, what I'm getting from that is that they love blood. It's less about the bite and more about the blood. Because I think if you like, just like biting, I don't think you'd mention blood.
I don't even like the word blood.
I think they love blood.
Right. You think if they've said biting and blood, what the truth of it is actually like tearing one of your limbs off.
I just think they're not so much, the biting is a means of an end to get to the blood.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of, if I thought I wasn't going to be vegan anymore, if I thought I'm going to start eating real steak and shit, I would ease you lot in by saying, oh, I'm reintroducing eggs back into my diet, right? But the aim of the game is...
blood.
You're going in for the full steak. Yeah, I get that.
I'm going in for blood.
I agree.
I don't think you mention blood and it's like, oh, sometimes I bite you without blood. I think
I can give or take it, yeah.
It's basically you're kind of getting like needles out and you're getting blood out of me. Like, you're into like blood.
Fucking
here.
Hell. Well, yeah, I wouldn't love that.
I would go so far to say I would hate that.
Getting needles out is quite extreme, yeah.
Maybe I've taken it too far. He didn't actually say anything about needles.
But I honestly think it's more about the person and like their... I hate to always talk about communication because it's so boring, but like...
But it's so fucking true.
If you can communicate effectively and like you're being honest and open about what you like... then it could be whatever, like within reason. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the main thing, is like you're mature and like confident and safe.
Yeah.
That's the main thing, I think. Okay, this is going to sound like me digging up graves and going back to what we were talking about 10 minutes ago. But I just saw this message and I really wanted to say it. And we can add in, there's a whole new layers to dig into.
Mm. I love the sound. Let's go grave digging.
Well, it's a sad one. Okay, let's go grave digging. There was no one else I'd rather dig graves with.
No, it goes without saying.
This person said, it's honestly weird being 20 and never having a boyfriend or girlfriend and not even had someone who seemed like a possibility. This is the bit that I think is particularly interesting. They said, it's hard to tell if I have standards or if I'm just awful at connecting with people at all.
That's really interesting. Yeah.
I just feel like, yeah. Because I think whether or not you've had a boyfriend or girlfriend or like, you know, regardless of that, I think someone feeling like, okay, do I just have standards? Do I have like an idea of what I want and what I'm not willing to negotiate on? Or is there just no one here for me to connect with? Like, am I actually alone on this rock that I'm floating on?
I think the crux of that, first crux of the episode, potentially, how many more would there be?
Well, the other crux was your crux.
The crux of life, as we may say.
So it's the second crux.
He's actually so not a crux. Let's actually not give him the fucking credit to be a crux. He's actually just like...
No, but you made him a crux. Let's give you the power. It's not about him, what he did. It's about you. It was your...
But I told you he's away.
He's away? How do you know?
My friend looked on his Facebook. Yeah, did I tell you this? He's gone... So basically, I have not looked at any of his social media. Luckily, he's kind of not on social media.
Yeah.
And he... My friend was like, can I just look? And I was with her and I was like, yeah, fuck it, look. What's he fucking doing? Kind of expecting to see radio silence.
He's in misery, yeah.
Fucking picture. He's like gone on holiday to like... He's in America,
basically.
He's having
the time of his life,
having
mate.
The time of his life. Posted kind of what I would say is like a topless photo, which was quite out of character, I thought. It's kind of a photo of his back.
Mm. Well, you don't know this guy anyway. He's a different person now.
I know. And I just thought, God, this is...
Yeah.
Wasn't really expecting you to be out of the country. I kind of had built an idea of that your life has fallen to a shambles.
Well, it's like, oh, you still exist?
Yeah.
I think that's a hard thing, honestly.
The hardest thing is their life continues.
Well, and also, even if you are at peace with things, it would be... It's just weird how humans are set up. Like, you can't just kind of... I don't know. Sometimes you just want to check in on...
Yeah.
Like, just on people. Do you know what I mean?
But I don't think I can check in. I genuinely think, for me, I cannot...
Oh, no, I don't think you can check in.
I cannot check in.
I don't think you can check in. I don't think you need to be honest. It's not worth it.
But that's why it's like, that was the first ever check-in.
Yeah.
Of my friend looking at his social media, and it was not what I wanted to see.
Yeah.
Quite a stunning, I would say... back photo of him in the ocean, and I thought, Jesus, yeah. This isn't what I needed to see.
Yeah.
Not what I needed to see. But anyway, this girl, what was I going to say?
About having standards or connecting with people.
Oh, the crux of what I think this would be is that I think, did she word it as in, I'm awful at connecting with people? I don't think that is the case. I thought it was that I can't connect with people.
No, she said, it's hard to tell if I have standards or I'm just awful at connecting with people at all.
Awful at connecting with people.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is the bit. Those aren't the two options. That's not option A, you have standards. Option B, you're awful at connecting with people. I don't think that's the case.
There's a grey area in between.
There are people around you now that may not match the energy. They may not match what you are giving out and what you want to receive. I don't know. You can spend a lot of your life around people that you think, am I just awful at connecting with these people? Or am I just connecting in a different way? Like, communication is weird, and there's only so much you can do to be a good communicator if your communication style is different from the people around you. And if you're, what, 19, 20 or something, did she say?
Yeah, she's 20.
20.
She's only 20. Come on.
You're at work, you're at uni, whatever you're doing, you're at college. You've just been at school, I'm guessing. Like, what are the chances that people just born in the same area to you are going to, one, match your standards, be good enough for you, and two, be people you can connect with in that, like, quite difficult, romantic way. I don't think it's that you're awful at connecting or communicating. I think it's that these people are just not the people that you can connect or communicate with.
Not right for you. I think that goes across all relationships. It's kind of it seems to be the theme of, or my theme of the episode, I keep saying, going on and on about feeling like you're not here to connect with everyone. You're just not.
Yeah, no.
You're not going to be
you're not going to like everyone. I think this, and not everyone's going to like you.
It's kind of that simple, yeah. I think that takes a lifetime, though, to learn. As in, like, if you die at, like, 101 years old, it will have taken you the whole time. And it's only on your deathbed that you're like, oh, shit, it just clicked. It actually doesn't matter. if people do or don't like me.
Just the theory about death that I used to have that kind of relates to that. Right. In that the idea that you work that out when you're 101, potentially, or you work it out on your deathbed.
Uh-huh.
Me and my friend used to have a theory. What if the moment you die is the moment you like work something out like that? Like as soon as you work it out, you die. Like that is you ascending to the next level.
Oh, right.
Kind of like the moment you work out that communication is not everyone's going to like you, you die. Like that is kind of... you move on to the next level.
God. Well, we better stop this because we're leveling up every week. We're going to be on our deathbed soon.
We're about to find it out. And then we just die.
That's a scary thought.
I know, we were really young when we used to say that. So like kind of like year five, sort of like young. But like, what if when you die, you figure something out?
Oh, like you kind of figure out the meaning of life, that sort of thing.
You figure out like the crux. Third crux.
Like a kind of universal crux, yeah.
And then you like, that's it, you level.
Well, yeah, you can't be a human anymore.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
That's kind of the vibe that gives me of like, some things take a lifetime to unravel. You will never get, and to be honest, you will never get to the fucking crux. Like,
well, I think a big part of the human condition is having a real awareness of like what others think of you, because we're born to be in communities.
Yeah.
Which is why I also think, I don't know, there is so much reluctance around, it's kind of what we talked about like a few episodes ago, where people are more scared of like being codependent than they are being isolated or whatever. It's kind of just I don't know, like, not all relationships are harmonious, obviously, but you are meant to find happiness in other people. Because also you deserve to do that.
Yeah, and it's not supposed to be these easy breezy kind of quote-unquote casual things, because it's almost like one of the most beautiful things in kind of human connection is that intensity, is that kind of like
devotion,
almost a feeling of dependence, I guess. Like, you do require certain people. It's like, yeah, my family, I require you. Like, I actually, it's beyond kind of you add things to my life, it's like, no, like biologically I require you. Kind of, you are my room of requirement. Again, in that thing of, we're more scared of codependency than isolation. I do think some kind of codependency, not in the like therapy view of codependency, yeah, it's a fucking issue.
No, just healthy relationships. It's not even codependency, it's just having some working relationships.
But like the intensity of it as well, I think. Like the complete intensity of some things. Some things are not supposed to be kind of just like a mediocre, healthy, uncomplicated, beautiful on paper thing.
No strings attached.
Yeah, just like a beautiful little simple thing. It's like, all my friendships are perfectly healthy and working and everything. It's like, no, relationships are a fucking mess, but some of my best relationships are the most intense and kind of confusing and messy and like
and have meaning
and deep, like deep rooted, like in my bones.
I don't know if it's a societal thing. I think it might be like a generational thing. We're just very jaded when it comes to relationships and our view of other people. Even the like carrying the sentiment with you of like, okay, what are you going to add to my life, or like, who got more out of that exchange that we had, you and I, like viewing everyone like a transaction in the kind of life sum of your experience on earth is so dark in a way.
It's capitalist. It's literally like a capitalist individualist, like, you are the center of the world and what can I like kind of give to you in exchange for you to give this to me? Like, it's like, when did we learn that? Oh yeah, capitalism.
Yeah. A lot of our responses to a lot of the messages that we got about this kind of episode in general would also just kind of be it's really hard. It's again one of those things that's like, oh, well, it's easy fucking said than done, like, go and do it then. But I think a lot of it comes down to, I would even say, relinquishing all control and trusting the timing of life. But not even in that deep of a way, but literally just to just think, or to just act a bit more freely. A bit more freely, the banana girl, but just actually act, like, stop assessing everything.
Yeah,
like it's the fucking GCSEs, like, chill out. Too much navel gazing.
It reminds me of the thing you were saying that was a stunning Instagram reel that you made out of it, that was, it doesn't matter that you can intellectualize all of these things, what you know doesn't really impact how you feel. And I think sometimes it's like labels are amazing. You know what we think about labels, they're amazing. But also like the label of like even like codependency, anxious attachment style, all of these things, they're so useful, they're so crucial.
Love languages,
it's vital in a way, but also they do hinder
freedom,
the like just the like, well, I know that this is it, but I feel like this is healthy. Or like sometimes it's like, okay, well, all of the world is telling me something, but I do think this also enables you to go back to like kind of toxic exes. Just trust how you feel, basically. If you feel bad, it probably is bad. But if some things, it's like, okay, this feels good, this feels like I am living like how I want to live, this feels authentic to me, I feel good in myself, it probably is good for you then. It probably is good for you. And if it feels bad, it's probably bad for you. Because I think that's one of the things with dating as well, the idea of like complication and confusion is normalized and even kind of romanticized. That when you're like, oh, does he like me, he probably doesn't. Then the brutal thing is, and I wish someone had told me this, if you find yourself questioning, oh, why does he not say this, why, oh, I just don't know if he likes me, ask him, because he might. But also the probability, if he's treating you like he doesn't like you, he probably doesn't.
And even if he does, is that what you want? You want to be with someone who likes you but treats you like they don't? Is that really what you want?
Literally, no.
It's not what I want for you.
Who wants that?
Who wants that?
Who wants that?
Who would do such a thing? And who would choose such a life? A half life. A cursed life.
The unicorn blood does look delish though, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Silvery goo. I've really liked this episode. I feel like we got some cruxes as usual. We've been... It's just great. I just feel like most of our DMs and stuff we get are about romance. I feel like everyone wants to fucking know about love.
Do you think?
Well, just in the terms of, for example, when we used to sell tarot readings. This is really going back. We used to sell tarot readings, the two of us.
Oh my God.
And we sold like general readings and romance readings. And the only ones that ever fucking sold were the romance readings. And it just kind of taught me that lesson of, people only really fucking care about love. It's like the only thing really that people were like...
I agree, but I also think our audience really, again, obviously, like we wouldn't be doing this episode if it wasn't relevant to people. It obviously is. But I also think we have a shift on that audience in the way that a lot of our audience is much more focused on like self-development and like their identity and like their loss, like how do they,
yeah,
like do you know what I mean, which obviously romance really slots into that.
It's like a self-actualization rather than my boyfriend won't text me. Yeah
But I think we have a slightly different, the Venn diagram is like
literally entirely,
but I agree, everyone loves love or hates love.
Yeah, everyone hates and loves love, whatever. The things I do for love, push fucking Brown out the window. Things I do for love, push Ned Stark's head gets cut off. These are all spoilers for Game of Thrones. If that makes no sense.
Funny you should say that. I'm literally sat, my microphone is sat on my Game of Thrones book.
Really?
A Game of Thrones.
A Game of Thrones. A Song of Ice and Fire, whatever.
Ice and Fire.
Have you read it?
Yeah. It's great.
Have you? I just don't think I could get through it.
I remember specifically actually you saying about Bran, the moment where Bran, that chapter where they talk about Bran coming out of the window and there's birds, and I literally had goosebumps reading that, and I was in like 35 degree heat when I read it. Like I was shivering to my core.
It's giving me shivers.
It's so, I hate to say it because I'm like so unimpressed by the majority of books, but that one chapter I will say he wrote beautifully, and everything else is shit, but I love that one chapter.
Really?
Well, I don't like when he's talking about like Daenerys is like 13-year-old nipples and stuff. Like I can give or take that, to be honest, weird old man. But
grim.
Bran kind of a child dying, like a child falling to the
child being a child developing a disability as a result incest couple pushing him out of a window.
That was great. Sure. Yeah, but it really did give me shivers to my core. But anyway.
Just one last thing on Bran. Bran is watch Game of Thrones, Google Bran, whatever. When we were watching Game of Thrones together, you'd already seen it, but you were kind of guiding me through the Game of Thrones experience,
forcing you with a gun to her head to watch it.
The whole time we were watching Bran, we used to be like, we would be so proud if this was our son.
Honestly.
There's something about Bran that is so like, God, I would be so proud of you. You're so beautiful. You're such a little actor.
It's my son. A beautiful boy.
You're acting your soul out. Like, I'll just be so proud of you, Bran.
Oh, his poor little face. Yeah.
And just one bit where he goes,
sweet boy.
Theon, please. God, Bran, I feel so proud of you.
The cutest. I love that we're spending our valid moments shouting out a series that really needs like no recommend, like does not need any more advertising. It's like,
is that not the whole thing of goes without saying though? We're talking about Harry Potter. It's like, yeah, everyone's seen it.
Yeah,
we should not be promoting anything to do with this. Bad news, bad news.
God, I feel exhausted. Okay, let's go.
Well, I'm about to do my COVID test. Who knows what will happen?
Come dark.
Wish me luck, guys.
If you don't hear from us, God, it's a bit too real.
Truly, assume the worst.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.